Thank you.
Pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for
Amen and amen. Sing it unto him.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. Lord, make me a sanctuary. Amen. I know she had the Dale Trio, so we just keep praying. We're going to have the Dale Quartet. Amen. Amen. We believe it. Just remember, pray one for another. Pray for Brother Forney that will be with us, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday preaching for us. And remember, the fellowship meeting will be this coming Saturday at Brother Pageant's. We'll be leaving at Wade's at about 10:30 and be leaving from Gainesville there at the Pet Mart, what they call it, Dawsonville Highway. We'll be leaving there at 11 o'clock to go over. If you want to ride, make sure you contact us. Let us know. We'll provide a way for you to go with us and have a good time in the Lord. So just remember those things. Any other announcements I need to make? I always forget them. I think they're pretty well covered. But if you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Hebrews 11. We've been on faith, so we come to the point of dealing with Hebrews 11. Something I was trying to remember because I've been aiming to say it and I forgot it. So maybe I'll think of it after a while. But let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your love and you thank you for your understanding. Thank you for you. We know for a surety that thou art true and, Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven. We don't have any problems then. We just have to depend upon you. And Lord, what a great dependence we can put therein. We ask you now that you would just help us, Lord, and you know these old bodies, these human elements that we live in, Lord, and the problems and things that we have. We know, too, that you can come and take away all the problems and let us dwell in you. Lord, forgive our sins because we know we fail you and just cover us by the blood and let your light shine in our hearts. And, Lord, bless and guide each one, those that are not here. Remember the sick, Father, and just be with each one and have your way. Bless Brother Forney as he comes to minister unto us Wednesday. Give him the words you'd have for us to hear, and us a good time in you. And guide us now. As we read your word, you come and honor your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. Now, watch. Faith is. Not faith will be, or can be, or has been. It's not that. Is present tense. All right. Now, faith is, present tense, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, watch now. This is by what we're talking about, faith. All right. Through faith, it's something we're going through. Now, you'll find it also in verse 11, through faith, Sarah. But remember, Sarah is the type of the church. You see, watch all these others is by, because that was theirs, you know. All right? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, still talking about faith. This is message number 8. Still talking about faith, and we'll title this The Substance, because we'll get to that part. Now, faith is a revelation. We read this morning of the will of God for your life. A sinner can receive a revelation for the time. It'll only be for the time. But a Christian, when you receive a revelation from God, now I know you can get a revelation to be healed and then lose that part, you know, or become sick again. Let's don't say lose that part, but let's just say become sick again of the same thing. Because see, when a Christian receives a substance, he retains the substance. When a sinner receives an understanding and is healed or whatever, he can lose that part, you know, because he'll go out and do wrong and things like that, so it'll produce a problem. All right. But yet, now it's still, a sinner still, when God shows a sinner that he's healed, and it actually produces now, then that's actually a revelation to the person. But it's for the time for him, because, you know, it's just that point. And healing is on a temporary basis. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, you can, as I said, you can be sick and healed and then be sick again of the same thing. But whereas salvation is based upon an eternal substance. All right. Now, that's what we want to talk about for a little bit when we get to it. Right. But we found out, talking at the end of the message this morning, that the new birth is the revelation of God in your soul, not a mental concept in your brain or spiritual part of you or the spirit senses and things like that. It is not that away. See? And we told you there on page 71, we gave it a paragraph 71, Patmos vision, that we were talking about where the prophet said you can only be saved by revelation. Well, see, the Baptist man that said, Brother Randall, we don't accept revelation. He said, well, there's no way for God to save you. You're saved by a revelation, by grace through faith. All right? It's the grace of God that's been extended to you and I, but then we must accept what He has done for us. And when we accept that, it becomes the substance of the new birth. All right? Now, in you, by the new birth, as I was trying to express this morning, is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ living in you, not somewhere a little small spot, as the prophet was expressing it. And he said, maybe science says that's the abode of the soul, you know, and trying to express how the human heart had a little inch square compartment, whereas other animals didn't have it. And, you know, that's just a statement. Because soul is not just an inch compartment in your heart. Your soul is what you are. That's your being. That's your person. That's the thing that motivates you. See? If not, we would just be like any other animal. See? We would just be, you know, we look like the rest of them, monkeys anyway. So, you know, they say we're kinfolks to them, but, you know, I don't agree. But still, without the new birth, we are just an animal. Even though we have a soul, even though we are human beings, we're just an animal still, because there's something there that's motivating us, which is animalistic, as you'd say it, or of that doing, instead of it being the Holy Spirit motivating us. The new birth puts Christ into you, not an imagination. Not just a thought, not just joining a church, not shaking somebody's hand, or, you know, going to church, being good and all like that. That's wonderful. That's good. But it's whether or not you're born again. Paul, who was it there, run upon them in the book of Acts, you know. And he asked them, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They were good churchgoers. They were good people. Things were running good. But he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See? Because they had not received the substance. That was what was the difference. Now, and that's what we're going to be dealing with, so think on it. See, the difference between the 120 in the upper room were day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, see? And in starting into the 10th day, they had only their human knowledge. They had seen great things happen, wonderful things had taken place, but like I said this morning, how come the others? Because Jesus was seen of above 500 brethren after his resurrection. Why didn't the rest of them come to the upper room? Because they didn't hold on. Right? See, they didn't count it to be worthy. You know, they counted whatever they were doing to be more worthy. You know. In other words, their occupation, their doing whatever was more important to them than going to the upper room and following what the Lord Jesus said. But to the 120, that was the important thing. But still, all of those days, they only had a mental concept. They had their faith, which would mean their revelation, their thoughts, but it had not been made a true revelation into their hearts. You know, they had to wait until the Holy Ghost came. But when the Holy Ghost came, it didn't just come and bring a knowledge, you know, like a head knowledge. It actually brought Jesus Christ into their lives. Now, if you don't have the new birth like that, then you only have a mental concept. And that's wonderful. Now, don't throw away what you got. Just seek God until He'll quicken what you got. You know. I mean, don't do that. Now, even as Peter, as we refer to him a lot, you know. Well, he began to cry out, and the Lord Jesus went and got him. You know what? I mean, I don't think Jesus had to struggle to hold him up, you know, sinking about 2 foot deep in the water, you know, and he finally got him and throwed him over in the boat. No. But see, Peter was screaming out. He realized he didn't have what he thought he had. Right? See, that's what we need to do in the new birth. Realize what we've got is wonderful in what we believe, but is our believing far enough? Has our believing become a substance in our heart? See, once it becomes a substance, you can't take it out. And we're going to get to that, and we're going to see the anchor the Bible calls of the soul. You know, see, you can't take out what's put into a man by the new birth. You can't burn it out. You can't boil it out. You can't talk it out. Sure, you might confuse the body. You might confuse the senses. Problems might come and all like that, but you can't take out of that person. Because God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give you something and take it back. But now if it was just in an imagination that you had, I believe I'm saved. Like the prophet said, the disciples would say, well, we've been here now for 8 days. Let's just take it by faith. That's good Baptist doctrine. Well, we get it all when we believe. Let's walk out. We done got it. We've seen the sick heal. We've seen the dead. And they had. And that ministry was with them while they was out there. But when they were pulled in, see, and brought in, they lost that ministry part. You know, they didn't have the ministry to heal and cast out devils and all. Whereas during the lifetime, Jesus had given it to them. But see, because they had to be made to a place that they would come to a total dependence. But they could probably say, hey, look, we've got all these things. Let's go out and let's go see if they'll work. But Peter said, no, he said for us to wait. He said, now, in other words, put it in plain language like this. Hey, boys, men and women in here, you ought to know one thing. If we had what he had, and he said we was going to get what he had in us, right? He said he was going to come and live in us. And if we had what he had, we'd be out there. We'd be on the steps of Caiaphas telling him about it. We wouldn't be up here scared to death. So I think we better wait until we get something
that's real. And they waited until they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then the prophet called it faith at the bottom of the pyramid, our revelation. And when he did, see, then they said, now let's go. We've got what he had. And they did. They had in their heart what he had in his heart. They had his own life. Now, listen. Then the new birth is not just an imaginary thing. It's not just a concept you have. It's not just a good thought or a good person. Alcoholics Anonymous will work on you and have you to stop drinking. And like we were talking down there a while ago, and that's what people depend on, and that's why the prophet said sanctification was a dangerous stage, because people will come up and they repent and they believe on the Lord and they get cleaned up and everything. They say, well, I must be a Christian. Look at me. I don't do what I used to do. Well, them disciples were sitting in the upper room saying that. Look at us. We're not like we used to be, Peter. Let's go out yonder. We're not like we used to be. We used to be out yonder fishing and doing this. And look at us now. All we are talking about, we've been up here now for 9.5 days or something, and we've been talking about the Lord. That's all we do is talk about the message. That ring around home, you know. All we talk about, we go to church. We're here every day. We've been worshiping, having a wonderful time. I don't think they set an upper room, you know. Well, what day is it now? Well, that's day 3. Well, see y'all tomorrow. No, I don't think so. Do you? I think they were up there having a good time. But that wasn't what it was. They were waiting on something that I want you to think on today. They were waiting on a substance to come within them. Now, not an imagination, an actual substance. The new birth is not a myth we read this morning. It's an actual substance. That's why very few people have the new birth. Because they don't have the substance. They've got a mental concept of Christianity and become good people. And that's good. Still a whole lot better than beer joints on every corner. But it don't make you a Christian to have a mental concept. It don't make you a Christian to be mentally convinced that this message is right. It don't make you a Christian to be able to quote this message, you know, fully. It makes you a Christian when the substance... Now, I'm just going to stop right there because... You know, if I go any further into that, you'll know what I'm going to preach about 3 or 4 weeks down the road. Okay. But a substance. See? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. See? You don't possess it to be able to show it to somebody else. Now, I've got quotes back there in the study, but I won't use them until later on. But see, you can't see faith. You can't taste faith, hear it, or whatever. You say, but Brother Dale, faith is a substance. Now, the substance we're going to deal with today is like this. The prophet said, if I need a loaf of bread, now listen to him. He said, and you give me a quarter. Won't work today now because it's a couple of bucks for a loaf of bread, but he said, you give me a quarter. He said, I've got the purchasing power. Now listen, I've got the substance of what the bread consists of. But now, there's no way to show it. You don't have no feeling. You're still hungry. Are you listening? I mean, you're hungry. Somebody gives you a quarter. You say, thank you, Lord, for the loaf of bread. Well, that's right. You got the purchasing power. You got the substance within your hand to buy it. but you're still just as hungry. Right? See? Because you got to wait till something makes a manifestation. You got to go get the bread and eat the bread. But now one of these days I'll get to preaching on the substance to where that when Jesus was hungry and he talked to the little woman at the well, and when they come back to give him bread, he said, I don't want none of your food. I've been eating. He wasn't hungry. There's a place when you get into God that you're not hungry anymore. Of course, the way we all look, we hadn't reached that yet. But you'll see that I'm heading for something. And I don't really know how I'm going to get there. I just preach till we get it. But at least I can make a statement or two to get you thinking along the way. All right. But now listen, faith is a revelation. It's real. You can't talk a person out of it if they got a Holy Ghost born-again experience with a revelation. You can't talk a person out of it. Why? Because they've actually gotten a substance. They got the substance of the new birth. And there's no way for you to take that out of the person. So you might as well just leave them alone. Like Brother Ryan said, if this ain't it, let me keep this until that comes. Because he'd already reached a place now to where he was standing on something. But now faith is a substance. All right, now watch what I'm saying now. The revelation you receive is not a mental thought. It's a substance. But you can't show it to nobody. Because you and you only had it. You know, God can speak to each individual in here at the same time. Now, you know what I'm saying. But still, we're all individuals. My God, now listen to what I'm saying. My God is not your God. Your God is not my God. Now, there ain't but one God. So now you're going to have to really think. Because I've got in me a substance. All right? You got in you a substance. You got a faith. There's just one God to be revealed. But get what I'm saying? Just because you have God in you doesn't put God in me. I've got to have my own personal experience. My own revelation. So it's my substance. As I always say, this is my Bible. This Bible don't belong to anybody in here. It belongs to me. God is my God. He doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. All right. Now you must say the same thing that I just said. You understand? You got to say that God is in you, but my God is not your God. See? Because that makes him personal to each one of us. A reality then, see, of something that is a substance. It's not an imagination. The new birth, I keep saying that. The new birth is not an imagination. It's not going to church and being good. It's just not something that you say, I believe it. The prophet said, that ain't nothing but hope. All right, but a substance is actually something. Now, watch what I'm saying. In the Old Testament word substance, it's 33:51, which is a living substance, what it's called, or that which stands or exists. Now, the word substance is that which stands or exists. It's an existence. That's your Strong's Concordance. For the word substance in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it says 5287. It means confidence. It means that which has actual existence. Now, a substance is something that actually has an existence. It's being real. That's another definition. Now, Webster says, that of which a thing consists. Substance is that of which a thing consists. I like what Brother Moak's definition. I never did find the exact wording, but I believe it because it's true. He said, faith is what anything consists of, whether it be natural or spiritual. Now, you can see then Webster and them's got the definition there, see? That of which a thing consists. This pulpit, it consists of wood. That's the substance of the pulpit. The floor, the carpet that you're with your feet on, the pews you're sitting in is an actual substance. All right? And that substance is whatever that thing consists of. I mean, it took a tree a long time. You can see the year lines in this pulpit here, you know. The rings that you cut, and you look in there, and you can cut a tree straight across. You can count the rings and see how old the tree was. Because there's a ring for each year, you know. But do you understand what I'm saying? Now, whether it be natural or whether it be spiritual. All right. Because it's an actual substance. Now, if you don't have the new birth like that, so well, Brother Dale, I just don't see that I have it that way. Well, then the altar's open. A substance is something you can walk on. I mean, we're walking on the world. We're walking on trees. We're walking on metal, you know, in the building. We've actually got a substance under us. All right? But yet, when an earthquake takes place, I've never been in one, but I've heard people talk about it. The solid foundation that you're there and you build your home on and you go down and you put it on, you got concrete and, oh, you do everything, and you're so solid. But they say in an earthquake, it just becomes like jelly. You know, because it has no substance in holding you up. It just becomes, everything's just floating because it's way down under the earth, see. The earth is shaking and splitting apart because it's actually lost what it had as a substance. Okay? You go down in the Okefenokee Swamp, Brother Dick and him can tell you there's places there, they call that the moving earth or something to that degree. Trembling earth, because it actually moves, because it doesn't have a solid foundation on the bottom part. But I like what Brother Randall said about it. He said, hell's, he said, see there, hell's not eternal. He said, it don't have no foundation. But now he was making hell and the foundation a substance things in dealing with it, just like he was dealing with a house or a whatever you're walking on. But that's what I want you to think about, that faith is a substance. Now, we'll get to some more things later on about it. But faith is an actual substance. I mean, you know, you say, what is that? That's paper. That was made either from rags or it was made from wood. You know, a songbook. But it's a substance. Now, I don't mind. It hurts, but I don't mind you throwing words at me. Because if I'm not guilty, there's no substance. Right? But you know, if I'm guilty, they hurt. Why? They become a substance. Because I'm guilty. All right? See, I'm trying to deal now to where we get natural and spiritual things. Because there are spiritual things that cannot be seen. God had to come down in flesh for us by the eye to be able to see him, and yet when they looked at him, they could not see God. Why? Because God was inside. All they could see was what was outside that was housing that. Huh? But they couldn't see the God that was in there speaking to them. Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sin. Well, they couldn't look past and see that. But where was the greatest substance? The world that Jesus was walking on? The body that he was living in? Or the God that was in the flesh? Which was the greatest substance? But yet you couldn't see the God that was living in the flesh. You couldn't look and see him. Alright? But yet, if they'd have just had the new birth, if they'd have had the new birth standing there, see, that's why Jesus went up before the new birth came down. The flesh had to go up. It had to get out of here. Why? Because if they'd have looked right at him, they would have seen God had they had the new birth. If he walked right in here today, that's where the people of the message are confused about. If he walked in, I know he won't. I know it's contrary to Scripture. But if he did walk right in here today in flesh, we'd know who he is. We that have the new birth. Why? Because we have the same substance in our heart. By the new birth, Christ is living in me. That's why the Bible says no man can call Jesus the Christ except it be by the Holy Ghost. The prophet said no man can call Jesus the Christ. He said you're only saying what somebody else says. Mama said it. Daddy said it. The preacher said it. Brother Branham said it. But when it becomes a substance in you of what Brother Branham said, then no man can take it out of you from then on. Because it becomes part of you. My makeup was a sinner. What about you? Oh, Brother Dale, I come in this world with all these eternal things and I didn't need salvation. You go right ahead. Play in your imaginational world. But you see, what I've got in me has always taken me right back to the Word. And I was reading 6 books a day and listening to 2 tapes before I got that person living in my heart. So don't think it's all because of how dedicated you are. Brother Brown said, you talk about sincerity. He said, what about them women feeding their babies to alligators to appease some god? Don't talk about sincerity. Talk about reality. A substance is that which stands or exists of its own. You don't have to put it upon something. It's its own substance. Alright? See, then in that, the new birth is that person living in you called Jesus Christ. As a substance in you, Sister Gail, not a myth, not a thought. We all come through when we thought we were saved, right? And we all come through a point somewhere that we thought we were saved, right, Juan? Yeah, he thought he was saved out there and he could go do what he wanted to because he'd already saved. Yeah. But then one day, God just takes that out of under you and says, okay, boy. His wife and them were screaming and hollering and running around with him trying to find a doctor or something for him. Why? His religion didn't do him any good right about then. Because he didn't have no substance. See, one of these days you'll find out whether your substance is real or not. You'll be put to the test to see whether your substance is real. It's like I told Brother Dean one time about, you know, I said, one of these days somebody will try that part of you to see whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. As I told you about the time that I know there was no way that I could stand. I could see in the old days why they'd just slap each other's face and they'd just go out and pull a gun and shoot each other. You say, well, I couldn't understand that. I can, because that's a total insult. I mean, it just insults everything about you for somebody to slap your face. But one day I always thought, Lord, what am I going to do if somebody else slaps me? Because I know I ain't supposed to be that way. When that man slapped me there at work, and I just looked at him and grinned. Well, see, I knew right then it's gone. There was something inside of me, not a fear. There wasn't no fear. I guarantee you that. Because I don't have that. But yet it was just like something was gone. And even to the man, he'd just become amazed. He just stood there and looked at me. I was just standing there grinning. He just turned around and walked off. He come back up there later just talking with me. He was never mentioned, never said a word. But he knew something had taken place, you know, right there, or somebody would have been hurt, you know. But see, something took over. God's going to let you be tried to see whether you got a substance or an imagination. Now, if you got an imagination, you can be talked out of it. Ford's got a better idea, you know. Oh, you can use the power of persuasion to talk somebody out of something. But if it's an actual substance inside of you, you can't do it. All right. Now, do you see what I'm talking about? And then we're going to read what Brother Brown says and watch it. The faith is a substance. The new birth is not just something you imagine. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not you just starting doing something different. Did you used to be mean and you become... Alcoholics Anonymous has proven that'll happen. And they have temper managements and all kind of things. Yeah. I got so tickled at them supervisor down at General Motors years ago, I laughed my head off at old Wagner. Old Wagner was illustrating how they took him up in the front and give him stress management. And I was dying of laughing at him. What I was laughing about, I'll get to in a minute, but he said, they taught us to sit down in a chair, and they taught us to put our hands up and just shut out the world and just relax. And I was dying of laughing. He was too. Because that didn't stop the line nor keep it running. So they didn't want them doing that during the hours as working. They wanted them to do that when they was at home. Because they wanted him to run that job. But wouldn't it be something for old Wagner, because I was laughing, he knew what I was doing. Wouldn't it be something him in there and their line just falling apart? Now, wouldn't, boy, little round man, Snyder. And old Snyder was so aggravating and everything. He took a hammer one time and beat the hood up on a car because they was letting so much bad work go by. I said, the boss, this was the plant manager. Beat the hood up on the car, throw the hammer up, told him to change that and get the line running. Well, he's doing damage himself, you know. But that was his temper. Right? But I can just see that, you know, you're sitting up in that office and then him come in there and get you, you beat something on that. But listen, that won't work. Temper management, Alcoholics Anonymous, etc., that won't work. It may work for a little while, but the Holy Ghost will work all the time. It will just yield to it. Now, there's a way to make all them things work that we got to get back to. But let's just read just a little bit, and let's just see what Brother Brown said about something. Because I want you to listen very carefully to what he's saying. Now, listen and read very carefully with me on the first one. Have faith in God, 1958, 0105. Now, some thinks that it's a mental concept of the word, but that is not right. Faith is a substance. Faith is not a myth. Now, listen. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Now what did he say? To have an evidence It must be a substance. Huh? Now, when you go to court, they say this person over here was killed with a gun. And it was a .357, and it was this, that, and the other, and we found the gun. We offer it as Exhibit 1 as evidence, because the bullet from that gun was the same bullet by the ballistics that killed this person. So we offer this evidence. Now, an evidence is a, what would you call it? Substantial matter. Now, whether he be a witness, that's what I said, we're going to get to it, whether it be natural or spiritual. All right, now you go in there and you say, there was a wreck down on the side of the road. Well, did you see it? No. Go sit down. Well, the wreck happened and two people... Go sit down. Because you're not an eyewitness. See, an eyewitness is a substance. Now, read what the prophet said again. To have an evidence, it must be a substance. Like the saying is, you know, if we were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Meaning, would there be enough produced outwardly to be able to see Jesus Christ? But are you listening to what he said? To have an evidence, it must be a substance. Now that does away with imagination totally. Well, I imagined there was a wreck down here. No. I even heard it. But was you a witness? No. But I saw it on TV. They showed it. That's not enough. That's why you know yourself that even though they take pictures of things, somebody's got to be behind the camera. The one behind the camera is one that signs off, or the video that signs off that they saw this. It's their word. It's not what's on the video, because you can make a video do anything you want to. You can take that video camera and you can make that thing and you can splice it together till only a professional would be able to tell the difference. My brother-in-law was a photographer, and this has been over 30 years ago. He said, I can put you in a motel with a woman by pictures. He said, and you can't prove that it didn't happen. He said, I can do that myself with pictures and put them together. But you see, it's still the man behind the camera is signing off, the witness. A witness has got to have evidence. Evidence requires that you see something, not that you just hear about it, not that you read about it. It's something you experience. Now, do you have the new birth then? Do you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in you that the message is right? Do you have a witness within you that the Bible is right? Well, then why so much confusion and how many times Brother Branham, what he taught? How can they wind up with so many doctrines out of the Bible? And everybody says they're basing it upon the Word. But you see, listen to what he said. Faith is not a myth. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence. To have an evidence, it must be a substance. So, it is not just something that you imagine in your mind. It's something that actually you have. It's something that you possess in your own being. And what is it? It's the evidence of things that you have hoped for. It's the evidence of things you do not have as yet. Now he's going into the spiritual realm totally, isn't he? It's the evidence of something you don't even have yet. But you have the authority of God to say that you have it. It's an evidence, something you have in your heart. Now, what's he saying? Brother Brown, what are you saying? You're saying that it's an evidence, something that's real, and then you're saying, but you don't have it yet. Why? Because if you're praying for healing, and even standing there saying, by his stripes I'm healed, and you, that's really a revelation to you. It's been revealed to you that you're healed. The substance, the evidence, but yet you can't produce that. Because your body is still showing you're sick. You have no way to prove it. Then we as Christians are asked to believe what nobody can prove but another Christian. Ever thought of it like that? You say you're a Christian. But you can't prove it. Because the kind old priest outdo you every time. You can't prove it. The only one that knows you're a Christian is another Christian. Because there's no way to bring out your evidence. Listen to it. It's the evidence of things you hope for. It's the evidence of things you do not have as yet. That's the quarter for the loaf of bread. You have the purchasing power. You have the substance. When you can't show it to nobody else. Listen to the next one. Believing God, 1952, 0224. And I'll tell you what we'll do. I want you to get in Romans 4 also. And I'm going to teach you a little about faith. That's what we all need a whole lot of, isn't it? Faith is not a... Watch it now. Faith is not an evidence. Well, he just said in the paragraph, in the quote before, that it was an evidence. See, what's he doing? He's explaining something. Whereas one thing is explaining it one way to bring it down, the other is explaining the other way. Not contradictory. Well, this was in 52, the other was 58. He learned. See, that's your concept. Why don't you just get what he's saying? Listen to it. I'll tell you what we'll do. I want to get Romans 4, and also I want to going to teach a little about faith. That's what we all need a whole lot of, isn't it? Faith is not an evidence. Only it's a substance. And what? Faith itself is a substance. And what? And an evidence of things that the senses of the body won't declare. Now, he just said the same thing, but the way it sounds, it totally sounds different, don't it? I mean, you read one quote and he says, it's an evidence. You read another and say, it's not an evidence. But keep on reading. Keep on reading until you see what he's saying, that faith itself is a substance and an evidence of things that the senses of the body don't declare. You can't show it. You can't declare it. All right? Going down to the next. Have faith in God, 1958, 106. Same one we read from the top, but different paragraph, E10. And when I have faith that God is going to keep his word, though I'm not healed at the present time, I know God has plenty of healing power. And I've got the faith to bring it to me. I'm just as happy with the faith that says you're going to get well as you would be if you were sound and well at that minute. See, now there's an evidence within your heart, which is a substance, because you're taking what God says. That makes no difference, because you already possessed it. Faith is a substance, not a make-believe, but you're holding, not in your hand, but in the possession of your heart. You have the purchase power of your healing. It's not out as an evidence to show someone else, but it's a substance to you. I just can't produce my evidence yet. You know, I can't declare. I mean, the doctors, they won't declare that I'm healed. But yet I declare that I am. That's what you got to do in faith. You got to stand right there and declare it to be so, no matter what anything comes or goes. You praying for your children or whatever, put them into the hands of God and believe it. It doesn't make no difference what they do. You keep believing. You keep holding on. You keep saying, but God said it. Let me die confessing what God says instead of living saying what the devil says. But see, we read something and we say, but one time he said it's evidence, one time he said it wasn't. I don't know what to believe. At one time, when, you know, I confessed to the doctor, by his stripes I'm healed, you ain't taking my kneecap off. But yet, to you, it took maybe months or years before you ever realized that was a reality. And you probably watched, some of you might have, about that time, to see whether I was hobbling or not. You know, oh, he's just faking it. Look at him. And it wouldn't matter if I did. It wouldn't make a bit of difference if I did hobble all over the place. When you see it and know that it's done, it's finished to you because it's a substance. But it's up to God what time to take away the problem. Don't worry about it, just keep holding on. Watch what he says about faith now on the Uncertain Sound, 1961. 429. You're talking about a trumpet giving an uncertain sound. And if you're not certain, then you can't have faith. If there's no certainty, then you cannot have any faith. Because faith is something that's certain. You know it. It's the faith is the substance of things that's hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not a myth. It's just not an imagination. And it's not hope, but it's faith. And faith is a substance. It's something that God has given you, and then you do not see it, but you just as sure got it as if you had it right in your hands. And faith is what purchases the product that you're hoping for. Faith is what purchases the product of what you're hoping for. Give me a quarter, I've got the loaf of bread. Now the next one, Brother Brown said, Jesus walked in a world of perfect faith. You know. But he says, nobody can talk you out of it if you got it. That's why the quotes I've given, I was just going down the line. Nobody can't talk you out of it if it's revealed to you. And you don't care what. But now, Brother Dale, I don't want to make a mockery and say that I'm healed when I'm not. You're making a mockery to say that. You're mocking the Bible because the Bible says you're healed. You're making a mockery by trying to be so super religious. Well, when I get better, I'll tell everybody about it. You get better, you don't have to tell nobody about it. Just see it. But it's when you can't produce nothing. When you can't show nothing, what could Abraham show anybody? But yet he said, I'm going to have a child. What about it, Sarah? Well, me and Hagar done tried that once and it didn't produce. He said what we thought. We thought we got it, but he said we didn't. I still can't see it. I'm talking about Sarah, you know, the church. But Abraham, to him, it was a possession. I hope you understood what I was saying to begin with. The new birth is not just something you say or a thought or a good idea. It's a reality. I mean, every one of us could have been out doing something else today. Right? But why did we choose to come to church? Because we come depending upon hearing from God. That's what I go to church for. I know He can speak to me other places. But if service is scheduled, I'm ready to go to church. Why? Like my wife said sometimes, what are we doing here? Do you expect to hear anything here? I said, I expect to hear from God. And I'd say that if I was visiting the Pope of Rome and was invited to sit down at his table and eat supper with him, I would still be looking for whatever God could give me. Why? Because one word. That's what he spoke to me on this message. Evidence. Evidence means you've got to have something to show that. But to a true Christian, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, because I have the evidence within me. I have the new birth. The evidence is within me. I don't have to, you know, nobody else can't see it. I just use the other part as a natural because it does and it works. The evidence in court is what somebody saw, what somebody can produce, what a video that somebody can sign. That was made. But when you come into the Christian realms, a lot of times you can't produce what you're talking about. You know, outwardly that somebody can see it. So you got to hold on. And it's really not you holding on, it's Him holding on to you. I wish we could get that down. And the prophet said, let go and let God. Well, you know that if you have a substance within your heart, why don't you let go and let Him do it? That's what's wrong with most people. They don't have no substance. They don't have a reality. And you see them up and down and up and down. When everything's running good, they're running good. But let everything start going down. And then they become down and out. Now, that's not meaning that you don't have your up and down days. All of us have our up and down days. If you'd have been there with the Lord Jesus, you would have seen Him with up and down days. As a human mortal. When He sat on a rock there after raising up the little boy from the dead, it says that he'd grown with a headache. Now, he wouldn't. He went up shouting, glory, hallelujah. He's probably sitting there with his head in his hands, holding his head. Why? Because he was immortal. We all have problems and days and all like that. True, we have troubles. But we just don't let them control us. Why? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It's what's on the inside of you is what's controlling. I don't try to keep myself from doing wrong. Oh, Brother Dale, you don't? No, I try to let God live. If I let Him live, I don't do no wrong. It's when I don't let Him live is when I got the problem. But do you get what I'm talking about? Faith is a substance. The new birth is an actual substance. It's not an imagination to you. It's a substance. It's what the it's what God's Word consists of brought into your heart. But yet you can't show it to nobody other than how you live. And the kind old priest will beat you there. See, it's an evidence. We have an evidence. I've been there. Some of you have been there, maybe. Been and witnessed an empty tomb. To the religious world, that's an evidence. But do you think they believe that evidence? But I didn't have to go look at the tomb to believe Jesus had raised. Why? Because Jesus was inside of me. Here I am over there and taking all of them out there walking around the tomb. And I went inside and came back out, but I was videoing everybody else. And Peggy was looking for me, and she kept looking around and looking around all over the place and all like that. And I said, hey. Hey, up here. And I was about 20-something feet up in the air over there that I climbed a bunch of rocks because it gave me a better view of the empty tomb. But I was up there having me a good time. I wasn't down there with them denominational chickens. You know, and I didn't mean her now, and the believers, all right? Because that place was full, right? The place downstairs was full of people. I mean, they were from everything. But I was up there soaring with the eagles and just having me a wonderful time. Because, see, I was up there thinking, I don't have to see this to believe Jesus Christ died. I don't have to have an empty tomb to prove. Christ living in my heart is the evidence. I had something I could walk on. See, now watch what I'm saying now for a minute, and then we'll get back to this in the next message because I want to just hit this part. Right. See, when we look at faith, we look at faith, and let's see now if I can hit all of us with it and just see where we live. We look at faith like this. Brother Collie says he's healed. Well, he's still got to, you know, he's limping, you know, he's limping. Well, we say, well, he don't have faith. Because if he had faith, he wouldn't be limping. Now, when he quits limping, then he's got faith. That ain't faith. That's reality. That's reality. The prophet said, evidence of things not seen. He said, what I need a shirt for? I got one on. You don't have to have faith for a shirt if you got one on. But see, we think faith is when it finally takes place. No, Abraham had faith day one. 25 years later, he had faith. You know how it produced? Because one day there was a baby born. But he had faith all the time. He had the substance the day the Lord spoke to him. Why? Because it was revealed to him that he was going to have a son. But he had to wait until God produced it. Like I say, Brother Collie, he'd say, well, he's not healed. Look at him. He's still limping. See, it's easy to see Brother Collie, he'd just be crawling and see him one day, and boy, he's got faith. No, he ain't got faith. He's got reality. He's got a reality. He's got something that the world can see. But you'll never get what the world can see until you first get the substance within your heart that you can't show to nobody. Then you'll be able to say, I got a substance. Yeah. I've got the substance of a change of a body. Well, Brother Dale, we don't see it. You're still getting older. You see me tomorrow, I'll be old. One more day. Well, you're still getting gray hair. See me tomorrow, I'll have some more. But you see, I've got the substance of the chains of the body. Amen. So do you, if you've got the new birth. Come on. So do you if you've got the new birth. Why? Because you got the person in you, and how can you fail not to come forth in a glorified state sometime? How can you fail if you got Christ in you? I may have to go by the grave. I ain't got nothing to do with it. But I've got the substance of the change of this body. Because I got it today, I was born again. Because I got the new birth, which is the substance of the gospel. Because I believed the word and God made it alive within my heart. So faith is a substance. Of things hoped for. Now, like the prophet said, if you got it in your hand, you know, I mean, a little bottle of oil, I got it in my hand. I don't have to have no faith for that. That's easy to say I'm healed if I'm standing that away. But when I'm standing without it, it can't show it to you, but to me, it's right there. Abraham said, you want to see the baby? Sarah even said the old coot's off his head. And now he's gone crazy because he keeps talking about this baby. Said, we done tried to help him supply something and said, we got Ishmael. But you see what I'm talking about, folks, now? Substance is what anything consists of. Whether it be natural or spiritual. Now, this is a life statement, right? Which is the greatest, a tangible substance, wood, paper, human flesh, you know. Is that greater than a substance faith and the reality of a living God? When you could stand like Jesus and say, destroy this tangibility. Destroy this physical flesh. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Now, which was the most real? Which is the most real? But see, to most people you say, had you rather have $1 million in your hand than a promise from who? Who's the richest now? Gates? Yeah. Or the word signed from Bill Gates that you have $1 million? I want my money in my hand. That's what we're saying in the religious realm. Lord, I'll tell everybody I'm healed when you produce it. He says, keep it. Because I'm going to make intercession upon your confession. So you keep your sickness. Well, I'm not going to say I'm healed when I'm not now, because I'd be a liar. You was born one. What does that help? But listen, church. A living substance. That's what the word substance means. That which stands or exists. We read where the Bible said we understand the world's. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, He didn't take dirt and make a world. He didn't take wood and make a tree. He spoke the word. And it come from the existence of a greater civilization. It came from where the existence of a substance was that could bring it to pass. But faith is a substance. That's what the new birth is. It's not arguing over who's right and who's wrong. It's not an argument or a greater how to produce what you're talking about to convince somebody. That's why I like what I found of the prophet. He said, if you make it soft and easy, said, do people think you're trying to deceive them? So there's one thing about it. You can't say that about me. You can't say that Brother Dale is trying to deceive me. You might say Brother Dale is trying to beat the daylights out of him, but that's what that man down at Fred Hooper, when that Jim Jones took place down in Guyana, you know, years ago, and they asked Fred Hooper, used to come to church with us years ago, and they said, Fred, is Sam trying to get y'all to kill yourself? He said, all the time. He said, every service, that's what he's doing, trying to get us to kill ourselves and come alive in Christ. Well, see, I want something real, folks. I don't want an imagination. I went to church in a Baptist church. I lived by an imagination world. I lived in the realm of intellectual learning. I read, I studied. When I come in the message, I just put my life to reading and studying. So they call me a 2-year theologian because I could quote Brother Branham. But you see, I was still looking for what they claimed they had. But when I found what I found, most of those that were there turned it down later. When I found what I found, when I found the substance of this message, because this message is not just words. Come on, brother. It's not words on a page. One of these days you'll realize when it's faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. Hearing comes by reading the word, studying the word. Faith, substance, reality comes by reading the word. Not mythologies. I would to God that we would get to the place to where we could just say, Lord, help my unbelief. Make it a reality to me. Yes, but if I just, I'm not going to say it until I get it. Well, you ain't going to get it because you got to say it before you can get it. Same thing with healing, same thing with salvation. You've got to confess it before it can be made a reality. Why? Because it's a substance. You have need of something, pray about that. God has the creative ability. Right? The God that made the earth and the trees and that, you think he don't have the ability to create what you need? We were running out of gas one time and going up to the minister's meetings years ago, and we kept trying to tell Dick to stop, and he wouldn't. Every time he'd stop, he'd say, I ain't paying that for gas. I said, well, you ain't paying for it. We are. And he was kind of stubborn about it, and after a while, he got kind of worried about it because we'd never been that road. And he cuts the air conditioner off and rolled down the window, and I'm dying of laughing. I said, you're going to walk. I'm not. I tried to get you to stop. Man, that old hand got down. We were running past the fumes and everything else, you know. And all at once, there was a service station on the side of the road. You know what? Brother Dick didn't check the price. He wheeled in ready to buy the gas. But we always decided we needed to go back by there one day to see if that service station is there or not. Because we was all praying for God to produce something, you know. And he did. A service station. But see, it's a reality, folks. I don't try to just be good and find some kind of a mental concept. I'm talking about a reality. I'm talking about something in my heart that's real. I just wish I could let it get out more. We squelch it back. We push it back. But listen, God is trying his best to get us to live by faith, by revelation. And when we do, we'll start walking on it. Now, this will help you later down the road. I've done quoted it once, I'm going to quote it this time. Do you know that the day you left the denomination, what did everybody say? One day I just walked out of there. Is that what you said? No, but you know what I'm saying? You left the place. Get the point. You left the place and went out, didn't you? You said, I walked out. So they were not of us. Quoting the scripture. Because if we'd have been of them, we'd have remained there. So we're something different. Everybody in here knows you walked out one day. You know what you walked out on? The message. Now, what's the difference in physically walking? You don't physically walk until you spiritually walk. Okay? Put under my feet, Lord, what is in my heart. And I'll walk off the earth physically because I won't have any trouble with it. Let's stand together.
Oh, we got number 230 in the red book.
230 in the red book.
Search me, O God, and know my heart for today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. There be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I pray thee, Lord.
Anybody have a need? Do you have that new birth? Do you know Jesus Christ as a person? Or is it just a head knowledge that somebody had told you about? Can you talk to him when you're out by yourself?
Fill me with fire. Were one. I turn with shame. Grant my
Father, our sister needs a prayer call. We know that she's going to use this for a reason, Lord. So we just send it. We pray that it'll make manifest what she's asking for. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Thy great love, Eva. Take all my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in thee.
Father, you heard our brother and sister. to just bring themselves to you. Take away all of their self, their pride, their things, all the things that was contrary to you, and come and live in them as a person. Make them together as one in you, Lord. Let your love and grace be there. We love you and we thank you. Your word declares that whatever we have need of, you will supply. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Come. Do you? Do you think about him? Just think about, cleanse me, Lord. Revival comes from the Lord. I can't make the dynamics work, but I can hinder it from working. But if I don't get the mechanics, the understanding, then the dynamics won't work. But I can be a hindrance to the dynamics. That's what I don't want to be. I want to be where that he can come and speak. The dynamics, the prophet said, is a refilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, it's a substance. If you don't get nothing out of the message today, you get one thing. God is a substance. He's not just an imagination. This is not a thought of a God somewhere. This is not a totem pole form speaking about something. Our God came down in human flesh to make himself known. To where he could make himself known to each one of us. Our God made a way that he could rip the skins off of an animal and make an atonement for our sins. All for you and me. Oh Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, oh Lord. Think about it now. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will praise thee, O Lord. One more time before we go, just think about it. I will bless thee, O Lord. Will you? I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of I will bless thee, O Lord. Just remember, the service is Wednesday, much in prayer for Brother Forney. Looking forward to a great time in the Lord for him to come and share the gospel with us. He's been making a lot of traveling. I know he's been into Africa and he's been to Jamaica and things since the last time we've seen him. I think he's going to Antigua pretty quick. He does a lot of traveling, and you know, and all. He's going to come up, and he and I are going to be hunting a few days, you know, and everything. So pray that the Lord would give him something, you know. I'll do the best I can to put him where I think that would be the right place to be, and, you know, I've tried to do that and even tried to run deer over people, but, you know, you can't make it all work. So just pray that the Lord would lead us and let him have a good time relaxing a little bit and all in the Lord. Anything, if anybody's... Before we go, the girls next Sunday. Now, between the services, girls, you come. Let's sit down. Let's talk about girls and what you're supposed to be. Not to beat you and hammer on you, but just to talk to you. And then we'll just take the boys and talk to them. Then we may have a session together.
because I was thinking about that. We may have a little session together of the boys and girls and just talk. Express life. Because I believe we need it. To know more about Jesus Christ in a life of a child. And that's one thing, Brother Dale, and you know that. Brother Dale can understand being a child because I'm still just that much childish. Still just a little kid at heart. And I pray that I'll always be that. Because I like it that way. I don't like these other people that get so super-duper religious that they don't want to have nothing to do with young people. I do. I want the young people to know that they are young people, what we expect of them to be. And it's not hard. It's just being a good little Christian. Amen. Think on these things. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today, and I pray that what I've said would be a help to each and every one. And Father, may we all go home with a deeper understanding that truly faith is a substance. Not a myth. It's not something to speak about. It's something to enjoy. It's something to possess. Lord, and let it live in us. Forgive our sins. Take care of the people on the highway. Give a safe journey. And just guide each and every one. Touch the sick among us, Father. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered from destruction. And Father, how much should we praise you and honor your great name? For what all you've done. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.